Hello everybody, and welcome to Inventor's Inventions. I am Inventor, my name is Les Hall, and I do a show on Friday nights on radio.electromusic.com called The Game Show with my co-host Sunshine, and I also create electronics. And what I've done is invented a circuit board here that you're listening to now. The circuit board is a Carplus Strong circuit board. It's actually a prototype built on a breadboard. And it makes guitar and percussion sounds. So let me just play with it a little bit and you can hear some different sounds that it makes. I'm adjusting one of the knobs now to get more of a percussive sound. Turn down this knob. There's a bit of a percussion kind of sound. I can change the tempo, speed things up a little. Or slow them down, either way. And I can also change the gain or the feedback, which gives us this warm tube-like kind of sound in the background. Hear that? Okay, let me tell you something about the setup that I have here. The circuit board is running off of 2 9-volt batteries. Well, I've been using them for a while. I guess they're 8-volt batteries now. There's a little LED telling me that the power is on, and I have a pair of clip leads attached to a guitar cable going into my Fender Frontman 15G guitar amp. As a matter of fact, since it's a guitar amp, why don't I make this thing sound a little more like a guitar while I tell you about the setup. There's a gritty, growly bass guitar there. Okay. The guitar amp is set with the bass on 10, the middle on 10, and the treble on 5 on the clean channel. And it's broadcasting into my living room, or it's making sound into my living room through the speaker. Then I have an Apple EMAC with its little microphone in the upper left hand corner. It's running a Chuck programming language show controller that I programmed to capture the microphone. Then that goes out the headphone jack through a cable to a netbook, an Acer Aspire netbook, which is running Edcast, and sending it out through the router to the cable modem, to the server, and finally ending up on your iTunes or your VLC or your Winamp, whatever you're using to listen to this. So that's the whole thing. It starts at the batteries and it ends up in your ears. Okay. Now, let's talk about what Carplus Strong is. Let me adjust this thing so you don't have to hear the same sound all the time. Before I talk about that, I'm going to talk a bit, and then we're going to do question and answer with the people in the chat room. I'm monitoring the electromusic.com chat room. We have 14 people there. Light crowd for a show, because we only announced it 2 days ago. And we'll do a question and answer session where I answer questions that people have about the Carplus Strong circuit. Let's begin by looking at the Wikipedia page for Carplus Strong. I'm posting the link into the chat room. Of course, they won't hear me say that until 30 seconds later, but because of the lag on the server, but there's the link. I'm going to click on it myself, and my web browser is taking me to that page. Wait a minute. I gave the wrong link. Uh-oh. Let me get the right link. There we go. Now, if you're listening on the radio and you're not in the chat room, excuse me, you can get to this page by going to Google and typing in Wiki String Synthesis. That's W-I-K-I, string as in a ball of string, and then synthesis. And it should bring you a link to this page. So everybody take a look at that page and scroll down a little bit. You'll see it says how it works. And then there's a little block diagram. That block diagram explains how the Karplus-Strong algorithm works. It was created by two people who were named Karplus and Strong in, I believe it was in the 80s. Yes, their original paper is published in 1983. And I'll describe this this illustration to you. It starts with a noise burst, which actually doesn't have to be a noise burst. It can be a pulse, which is what I'm using, or it can be a square wave or a triangle wave or anything like that, as long as it's a short duration burst of it. Okay, that goes into a summing amp, which goes into a delay line, into a filter, and then back into the summing amp. So there's a feedback loop established by the summing amp, the delay line, and the filter, the noise burst or whatever stimulus signal you choose to use goes into that summing amp and causes the circuit to react. What I'm going to do now is really slow down this thing. That's the slowest that I have it set up to go. It got a little quiet, so I'm going to turn up the guitar amp. And now you can hear the response of the system after each individual pulse that goes into it. Let's listen to that just for a minute. So you see, it sounds kind of like plucking the string of a guitar, where you hear a sort of a louder sound at first, sort of an impulse, followed by the louder sound, and then a decay of the amplitude of the sound as the string reduces its vibrations. And the circuit is simulating exactly that. And the reason it decays is because I have the loop gain set to less than 1. I'm going to adjust the loop gain potentiometer to change that amount of decay. And I've turned the loop gain up. Excuse me. And you'll also notice that you're hearing, let me turn it down because it's saturating a little bit. There, no more clipping. You're hearing two pulses. 1, 2. 1, 2. 1, 2. And the reason for that is that my stimulus is, and I'm going to be technical throughout this show because it's a show intended for technically minded people, so pardon me if it gets a little busy. But I've got an LM324 op amp configured as a relaxation oscillator with a potentiometer that controls the frequency. It's set up with a low frequency, an LFO, or low frequency oscillator. And its output goes through a 0.1 microfarad capacitor, which causes only the edges of the square wave to be passed into the Karpler-Strong circuit as a stimulus pulse. And the way it happens to work is in a square wave you have a positive edge and then a negative edge and then a positive edge and then a negative edge. So what's going into the circuit is exactly that, a positive edge followed by a negative edge. You can hear that. They're a little bit different. Let's see, what else can I talk about here? I have a lot of things to share with you about the project. Oh, let me give you probably what I should have said in the beginning is an overview of why I'm building the circuit and how it's going to be used. This is a breadboard circuit that is a prototype for a modular synthesis module, which someone could which people will build and put into their modular synthesizers. And I won't explain what a modular synthesizer is. I expect you to know that if you happen to be into them. If you don't, that's okay. It's just a thing that makes music from circuit boards. And I was playing around with Karpler-Strong in the Chuck programming language, music programming language. And I studied it, and because of my analog circuit engineering background, I used to be an engineer, I realized that I could implement the algorithm in analog circuit form, make a circuit board, and then people could use it in their modular synthesizers. So that's kind of what started the whole thing. So I'm working on a circuit board design which contains all of this breadboarded prototype in one little 3-inch by 4-inch circuit board. And we're going to offer it for sale as an electromusic.com kit product for modular synthesizer users. And I've designed the board so that it doubles as an E-Chuck project. E-Chuck is electronic chuck, which is sort of a thing I dreamed up. Being a chuck programmer, I realized that we could do a lot of what chuck does in external analog circuit form and digital circuit form by making these circuit boards that do various things. So in the E-Chuck form, this circuit board will stack on top of other circuit boards, forming a brick of circuitry that you can then send into a mixer or into a computer or into a speaker or into a guitar amp like I've done here and play music with it. So there will be companion circuit boards that go along with this Karpler-Strong circuit board. A thing called a Boolean sequencer that I created, and then also a board that has batteries to provide power, a clock to provide the LFO that synchronizes everything, and a timer that lets you begin and end that particular voice of the song when you want it to begin and end. Okay. So, those are things that are on the horizon, but today we're going to talk exclusively about this Karpler-Strong circuit board. Now, why don't we mess around with the controls some so you can hear some different sounds? And I'm going to be playing this thing throughout the program, the remaining 45 minutes. So let's get to playing with it. Let's speed it up a little bit. And then I've just turned up the loop gain, and we can get that feedback tube-like sound. So that's another sound you can get out of this. And I can turn the loop gain down, the feedback goes away, and you just hear the guitar sound. I'm going to set the feedback somewhere in the middle. There we go. Okay. Next up, let's make some percussion sounds. There we go. That's a nice drum sound. Drums might usually play a little faster, so let me turn it up, turn up the speed. By the way, folks in the chat room, I'm not reading what you say right now, but we'll get to the question and answer pretty soon. Now I will play around with the voltage controlled filter. That's the low-pass filter that I mentioned in the feedback loop. It's controlled by a potentiometer as well as by a control voltage input, which I'm not using the CV or control voltage input. I'm just adjusting the filter now, and we're getting a range of percussive sound. Swept through the full range. Now I'm going to back it down. There's a nice bass drum sound. There's a bit of a tapping sound. Now let's turn up the potentiometer that controls the voltage-controlled amplifier, which will decrease the amount of delay, and we'll get yet another percussive type of sound. There we go. That's about near the maximum. Back it off a bit. Now I will do the same thing that we just did. I'm going to sweep the voltage controlled filter. There it is at minimum. And I'm slowly adjusting it to maximum. Bass guitar, or a double bass, or cello, something like that, maybe fed through a distortion unit. Okay. Okay, I've just decreased the voltage controlled filter to the minimum setting. And we've got our percussive sound again. Oh, by the way, let me turn it back into a bass guitar. And crank up the feedback. There's one kind of fun thing that I like that I've enjoyed doing with this is I can crank up the speed of the input stimulus to a point that it actually makes sort of a motorcycle sound. I think it'll do that the way I have it set up. Let's see if it does. Here's the motorcycle at a stoplight. Oh, there we go. It's idling. The motorcycle is idling. Oh, the light turned green. Enough motorcycle. Pardon me, I have a bit of a cough from a cold that I had 2 weeks ago. Hasn't gone away yet. So cool, you can make your little Harley Davidson sound with it, if you like. And I think we've... Oh, this another thing you can do is you can toy with the knobs while it's operating. You can even turn the knob in sequence with, in rhythm with the stimulus. I'm just moving the knob left and right of the voltage controlled oscillator. Okay. So, we looked at the wiki, and I talked for a while. I want to give you one more web link. I'm going to post it in the chat room right now. Boop. There we go, it's in the chat room. And that is a link to the project thread. It's a link to page 6 of the project thread that I created originally with the idea of making a Boolean sequencing car plus strong circuit board, and it evolved into three separate circuit boards now, of which the car plus strong is one of them. If you're listening and you're not in the chat room, I'll tell you how you can get to this thread. First thing to do is to go to the electromusic.com main page. That's www.electro-music.com. Use a minus sign for the dash. That's the one right next to the zero and the plus key, in between the zero and the plus key. So electro-music.com. In the upper left corner, there is a link called Forum. Go to the Forum. Give you a moment to do that. Click on Forum, and you will see the vast array of hierarchically organized sub-forums that exist within electromusic.com. There's really quite a lot of them. And they're arranged into groups. If you scroll down, you will see a group called DIY Do It Yourself. Go there. under there you will see a forum called eChuck. Actually, I'm doing this without looking at it myself. Okay. The eChuck Miniature Modular Synthesizer System. That is my little corner of electromusic.com, inventor's corner, so to speak. And I post all sorts of designs and information and discuss things and share things with people about the projects that I'm working on in this forum. Now, once you get to the eChuck sub-forum, you will see a thread called the BSG eChuck DIY Project. Again, that's the BSG eChuck DIY Project. Go there and click on page 6 of that thread. And there you'll find some status reports and a schematic and board layout for this product. So have a look there. And I'll scroll down to the schematic. And if you look at that schematic and you click on it to enlarge it, because it's kind of busy, you will see some text and some circuitry. The text tells you what each of the various sub-circuits of the circuit board are called. We have at the top CarPlus Strong Circuit Board, copyright 2009 Les Hall. At the left, you'll see three inputs. There's a VCF, or voltage controlled filter, CV, or control voltage input. There's a stimulus input, and there's a VCO CV, or voltage controlled oscillator control voltage input. Then the subcircuits you see are bucket brigade device, voltage controlled filter, summing amp, voltage controlled oscillator, and level shifter. And if you know electronics, you can read that schematic and you'll understand. This thing is getting monotonous. You'll understand how the circuitry works. Now going back to the thread page, scrolling down a bit, we have the circuit board layout. You can see there are four chips in the middle surrounded by a bunch of resistors, capacitors, and diodes. On the bottom of the image of the circuit board, you will see footprints for three potentiometers. I've placed them there. The three potentiometers are the only front panel controls that this modular synthesizer module requires. And I placed them on the edge of the board that way so that if you mount the proper type of potentiometer, there is no need to run a wiring harness for the potentiometers to the front panel. You can simply drill your holes with proper spacing and then thread the nut onto the potentiometer and it'll hold itself in place that way. Then if you look at the left side of the circuit board, you'll see I've double footprinted the two most commonly used power connectors. You can use either one of those. And then in the lower left of the circuit board, you'll see four little ground symbols and four little pairs of vias marked stem, VCF, VCO, and out. Those are for the jacks. And I don't know if you're going to use banana jacks, quarter inch jacks, or eighth inch jacks. So I didn't footprint those on the board. I simply provided a place for a simple wiring harness. Only 8 wires are required, so very, very simple. get a different sound here. Get something more percussive. Okay, I think I've gone through a lot of what I wanted to say about this circuit board. Oh, and I do have to mention, if you look at the circuit board in the top center, there is a logo there that was created by W. Monk. He appears to be quite the artiste. And the logo consists of a guitar cable that is shaped into the outline of a guitar body with a KS shaped into a circle where the sound hole of the guitar would be. So that's our little logo on the circuit board. I thought that was pretty cool. Okay, time for question and answer session with the chat room. W. Monk says, what is the spacing? Answer, I do not know. I can measure it and I can publish that information in the thread. It'll be in the documentation. And perhaps I should adjust the spacing so that it is in terms of inches, is very simple. Like make them 2 inches apart, no, 1 inch apart, for example, something like that. Okay, W. Monk has asked, is it related to a popular modular type? The answer is no, it can be used in any modular synthesizer, or it can be used in conjunction with the other circuit boards that I'll be developing in the form of a circuitry brick that you can put into an enclosure or operate open frame, however you like. W. Monk has asked, is the board ground loop protected? Well, what I did was I simply auto-routed the board. So, I don't imagine there would be a problem with ground loops because the board is so small. I mean, the way a ground loop works is the way a ground loop causes problems, I should say, is that the loop is large enough to support a sustained oscillation of a frequency that can be sustained by that length of wire. And these lengths of wire, the frequency of these lengths of wire would be in the gigahertz region or the hundreds of megahertz region, which is way outside of the audio range. So I don't anticipate a ground loop problem. And W. Monk has made a suggestion here. He says it's very useful to adjust it to Motem or synth.com spacing. Well, I can do that. That's a good idea, W. Monk. This is what one of the reasons I wanted to do the show, and one of the reasons I post about all my projects to the eChuck forum, is because people make suggestions and they provide information, and if I have questions, I ask them, and it's a really good synthesis, a really good collaboration that we have on electromusic.com. Lots of people. Let's get some growly bass again. Maybe slow down the tempo so you can hear the sustain. So there's a lot of collaboration that goes on, and people have helped me with this circuit board. I think the biggest suggestion, the most positive, meaningful suggestion, was that someone suggested using an LM13700 operational transconductance amplifier so that I could create a variable oscillator and a variable filter, which turned out really great. I had never used that part, and it's like a magic part to me. It's an old part, but it's still around. And it's really quite powerful. Plan to use it in the future. Okay, let me type into the chat room and see if there are any other questions. What else can I say about this thing? Oh, the power supply. It has a 5-volt regulator because the Bucket Brigade device runs at 5 volts. And it has a plus or minus voltage input. I'm using these 9-volt batteries. Excuse me. However, by changing two resistors, you can then use a plus or minus 12-volt supply. Or by changing those same resistors to a different value, you can use a plus or minus 15 volt supply. So the supply is up to you. It's compatible with any of the popular supplies, including standalone with batteries. I really wanted to make it that way so that anyone could use the board. Let's see. Dr. Steve says, why do adjacent sounds sound different? Are you saying why do you get the 1-2, 1-2, 1-2? The reason that we're getting that is because the stimulus is coming from a square wave being fed through a capacitor, and I put a pull down resistor on the output of the capacitor to create a nice sharp pulse. But now that I think about it, you know, I didn't put a pull up resistor, which would have been a good idea because then the positive and negative pulses would be equal in amplitude. But as it stands now, they are not. But maybe that's a good thing because it's creating different sounds. Yeah, there's a difference between the positive and negative pulses, Scott. That's very true. So, feel free to ask other questions. There's one thing that I wanted to demonstrate. I'm going to try to create it. When I first got this circuit working was Sunday morning. And, I've got to mention Jan because, who is Blue Hell in the chat room, because he has been absolutely instrumental in helping me debug the circuit. We joke around and call Jan the E-Ninja because he knows just about anything you'd want to know about analog circuits, digital circuits, programming chips, and making web stuff work. The guy's really sharp, and he helped me debug this, as well as other people. W. Monk helped a little bit. That was cool. Here, I've got what I wanted to demonstrate to you. What you can hear is what Jan noticed, which was interference patterns. You'll notice that you don't just hear the 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, but rather, let me try to get it again. You hear somewhat of a longer sequence of sounds. I think it's more noticeable when I speed it up. Here we go. You hear a low sound and a higher sound. Okay, Dr. Steve has asked a question. Dr. Steve has said, I have the schematic on my monitor. Can you point out where that is in the circuit? He's referring to the resistors that must be changed. Yes, they are R8 and R13. They're shown as 30 kilo-ohm resistors. These are the resistors that change the control voltage input into a current that sets the amount of gain that the operational transconductance amplifier has. So the amount of current you get is going to be the voltage divided by the resistance, obviously, according to Ohm's law. So if you're using a plus or minus 15 volt supply, obviously you need a bigger resistor. And if you're using a plus or minus 12 volt supply, you can use a smaller resistor to get the same range of current. And then if you're using a plus or minus 9 volt battery supply, you would use an even smaller resistor, and that's what I'm using here. Let me read in the chat room and see if there are any other questions. Scott G. mentions, we're hearing different timbres because you're hitting the string at a random point in the previous cycle. That's what's going on. And Dr. Steve has mentioned, yes, I heard interference patterns. Yes, when you speed it up. So the folks in the chat room are talking about what's going on here, which is part of the interaction that we have here on electromusic.com. Like-minded people focusing on electronics that makes music. Let me change this and see if we can get... There we go. Now what I'm talking about is even more obvious. It's not just a 1-2-1-2. It's actually forming a bit of a sequence. It seems to stabilize into a 1-2-1-2 rhythm, and then when I change the input frequency a little bit, it destabilizes. Listening to the bass guitar for some time, so let me change it. Oh yeah, you can make this noise too. That's called abusing the part. You're not supposed to do that. I'm actually clocking the Bucket Brigade device slower than it's allowed than it should be clocked. It won't harm anything, but you're not supposed to do that. But it does make for some interesting sounds. Here's an example of how you can get different sounds by adjusting the potentiometer when the song plays. Percussion again. Who am I? I'm Shane Morris, playing at electromusic.com 2009 festival, playing drums really fast. Okay, folks in the chat room, are there any other questions? We've got 15 minutes left in the show. I really didn't plan this out. It's the first time we've had Inventors Inventions as a show, and we are looking forward to future shows, which will appear on the first and third Tuesday of every month at the same time, 2200 GMT or 5 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time or 2 o'clock p.m. Left Coast Time, Pacific Standard Time. Not sure what it is in Australia or Thailand or somewhere else. Just remember 2200 GMT. Coming up next is, I'll just mention, we're going to fill out the full hour, but coming up next is State Machine, Bill Manganiello, who will be playing the Soldering Musician Show. He's on for an hour plus. In the chat room, WMonk has mentioned exponential control. That is something I'd like to point out about this circuit board. It does have a limitation in that it has a linear control of the input control voltages. It responds linearly. And in a modular synthesizer, you usually use an exponential converter that allows expo control. Expo is short for exponential. So that you get 1 volt per octave or 1.2 volts per octave or what have you. The reason I didn't add that is that I will be adding it in the future. However, I myself at this time do not yet understand the electronics behind making an expo controller. And it was challenging enough to make this circuit work, believe me. So I figured now that it's working, I'll release it as it is. We can make beautiful music with it, all kinds of noises and stuff. And we'll make it be all perfect and have expo control in a future revision. So, Dr. Steve has asked a question. He says, can you explain to novices like me what the CV and STEM ends will do? What can they be hooked up to, etc.? Okay, Dr. Steve. The CV stands for control voltage, and it means that if you apply a DC level, it will have a certain effect on the circuit, and if you change that DC level, it will have another effect on the circuit. And you can vary the behavior of the circuit by varying the CV voltage. And then you can also get creative and change that CV as a function of time so that you could change it with a knob throughout your performance to get a different type of sound at the end of your song compared to the beginning. Or you could put in a very slowly changing voltage or a stepped voltage that would change that characteristic of the sound throughout the song. Or you could even go wild and feed in an audio signal and see what that does to the circuit. You're not going to hurt anything. It's just a voltage being applied where a voltage should be. So that's what the CV inputs do. One of them controls the VCO, which is a voltage-controlled oscillator that determines the amount of delay that the bucket brigade device provides. And the other one goes into a VCF, or voltage-controlled filter, that controls the cutoff frequency of the unity gain low-pass filter in the feedback loop. And Dr. Steve also asked what the stem input does. If you don't apply a stem, the circuit will go silent. In fact, let me turn the stem down to its minimum period or minimum frequency or maximum period so that you can hear the decay of the string synthesis works best in the bass guitar configuration. So let me crank up the bass guitar here. There we go. I believe I demonstrated this previously, but let's do it again. You are now hearing the bass guitar being strummed or struck with a stimulus pulse. And then you hear the sound resonate throughout the feedback loop as it decays and goes away. And then we hear another sound coming. And one final note on the stimulus, as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, the stimulus can be any time-varying burst of signal, and you will get different audio characteristics when you put different types of burst into it. You could send in a noise burst of different durations to get different effects. You could send in some kind of ADSR type waveform shape. You could send in a burst of sine wave, triangle, or square wave, or whatever you have, as long as it's a burst, you will get a sound. Okay, I'm gonna go to the chat room and scroll up. While I was talking, people might have said something. Dr. Steve has asked, voice modulated car plus strong. Dr. Steve has asked, is the stim a trigger? Yes, the stimulus is an input trigger. Blue Hell has answered him. Pardon me. Excuse me. Scott G has made a comment. Scott G is quite familiar with Car Plus Strong because he does FPGA design and uses these algorithms. He says, about the VCF, if it effectively eliminates harmonics over time so that timbre changes naturally over time. Electrifier says, how long a burst? To be honest, Electrifier, I don't really know. And you know, I've talked a lot of technical gobbledygook. You've heard me say most of what I know about this, but to be honest, I don't have a truly intuitive understanding about everything about how this circuit works. I just know well enough how to build it and make it happen, but as far as the theory behind it, I'm a little bit at a loss. So I'm not too sure about how long a burst. Just experiment with it. W Monk in the chat room has posted a link to a burst generator. Okay, we only have 7 minutes left in the show, so let me make some concluding remarks. Let's play something a little different. Maybe some percussion. Okay, about the show, this is our first show. I don't know how well it went, but I enjoyed doing it. Oh, W Mug wants me to try the chainsaw to end the show. Okay, let's try the chainsaw. Oh, hey, there's a drum roll. Take so much chainsaw, W Monk. My favorite is the bass guitar. Oh, I forgot to tell you, you can put different Bucket Brigade device chips into it and get a different range of sound. You can also change some of the component values on the circuit board and get a different range of sound. down. It sounds a bit loud in this setting. Some other comments. You can use this CarPlus Strong circuit board in your modular as a single voice of a song. Hook it up to a sequencer and it will play the either a drum part or a guitar part, or if you happen to want a motorcycle part or whatever, you can do that too. Then you can take another CarPlus Strong circuit board, stick it in your modular, and control it with another sequencer and get another voice in your song. So for example, if you wanted to create a rock and roll song, you might use four of them: a bass guitar, a lead guitar, a bass drum, and a tom-tom, for example. And then you've got the makings of a whole song. And the board is designed, it's very simple, and it's designed to be inexpensive enough that you can afford to get four of them and put them in your modular. And that's the same thing will be true of the Boolean sequencing sequencer boards that I'll be making. Very inexpensive and compact, so that you could team up a Boolean sequencer with a CarPlus Strong in four places, or three or two or five places on your modular, and create songs in that fashion. The same is true for the standalone mode, where you're not using it as a modular synthesizer, but you're using it as an E-Chuck brick, an E-Chuck circuit. You can take several bricks and put them into a mixer, pan some left and right, or do whatever you want, and there you go. You've got a whole song with different voices. And let's see, less than 3 minutes left. The show will be about different things that I create, and if I run out of material, I'll start featuring different things that other people create. So expect to hear more interesting things on future shows. Why don't we close out the show, the last 2 minutes, without me talking. I'll just play with the dials. So thank you everybody for listening, and please visit electromusic.com if you're interested in this stuff. We'd love to have you there. So long and goodbye.